is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
My colleague and friend Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, and we're very pleased to welcome Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, to help us understand some of the breaking news stories around the world with regard to the existential threat to the U.S. ally Israel. Thaddeus?
Malcolm, what is the latest on the U.N. Security Council resolution?
Well, good evening to both of you, and very timely question, because earlier today, the United Nations Security Council voted a resolution that condemned Israel, essentially, but did not even mention tie it to the release of the hostages, as the U.S. resolution, which vetoed by Russia and China last week, the end of last week. This one makes no mention, no linkage, simply is a one-sided slam in Israel, and the United States abstained. The representatives there said that the United States couldn't vote for it because it didn't condemn Hamas. But abstaining in this case is essentially a vote for it. Kirby, the spokesman for the state, said repeatedly that there's been no shift in policy, but in fact, it's being interpreted as a shift in policy, and perception in this case is far more important than any reality that might be on paper or perceived on paper. But here it's very clear. The United States till now abstained. It brought up comparisons to what President Obama did in his last days in office with the UN Security Council resolution. And we hope that this is not a major turning point, but it certainly will be perceived by America's allies as a weakening of America's stand, that not to understand what Israel is really up against. The prime minister canceled the delegation that was supposed to arrive tomorrow here to meet with the administration in Washington. He felt that it was not the appropriate time given this action. And we're seeing it coming from others as well. We saw Britain this week threaten arms sales to Israel when they represent 0.9%, meaning 0.9% of the arms sales. So it's not going to harm Israel. It's meant to be a propaganda ploy. And in fact, Britain buys 3 or 4 times that amount from Israel and stuff that they direly needed when they were in Afghanistan, and Israel supplied it to them. That this attempt to portray Israel and to isolate Israel because of domestic pressures. And that includes President Macron, who went further than anybody else has in the last couple of days, threatening trade with Israel and threatening to isolate Israel. And for what? For fighting a battle that they're all facing inside their countries, Britain, France particularly, and externally in virtually every place where they have troops. So this is a major failure of the West. This will undermine the confidence of all of our allies in the region and will lead to no good, because Hamas only reads it as a weakening and a reason for them to hold out and to stay the course, because they believe that Western pressure will build on Israel.
A headline in ABC News: Al-Shifa Hospital raid, one of the, quote, single largest, end quote, operations in the war, according to sources. Israeli military sources beginning to call the Israeli Defense Force week-long raid on Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, one of the single largest and most successful operations in the nearly six-month war with Hamas. You will remember, Malcolm, when we reported on this last week, we were somewhere around 600 or 650 detained suspect Hamas. That's been increased. The Israeli military said it had detained more than 800 men and that about 480 of them are Hamas or Islamic Jihad members. Special intelligence units have begun to interrogate some of them, and those who were found not to be affiliated were released. According to the IDF, Israeli officials just said more than 140 Hamas terrorists have been killed. The fighting is going on in the hospital, underneath it, Malcolm. What can you help me understand how this has been taking a week?
Okay, so this is a huge complex. The Shifa Hospital is many buildings. They were there early on. They discovered the infrastructure. They removed terrorists. That is, Israel removed some of the Hamas terrorists. But they infiltrated back. As the people were allowed to move from section to section, the terrorists moved back into Shifa Hospital. Israel had very good intelligence about this. And the degree to which they have taken over the facility today, they found in the maternity ward and in the MRI center, in the ceilings, under the floorboards, inside the closets, throughout, huge caches of weapons. More than 800 terrorists and suspected terrorists have been caught. Over 250 of them identified as key Hamas operatives, and hundreds more have just been interrogated now. That the buildings, if you notice the pictures, are still intact because no civilians, no doctors, no nurses were harmed in all of this fighting that's been going on, some of it face to face, as the terrorists try to hide in tunnels or discovered tunnels inside underneath the hospital. And the world is focused so much on the Shifa Hospital that it's important to understand what the real truth is. Now, one of the big scandals was, of course, that there was a rape that took place and Al Jazeera and others ran with it. It became a major story throughout the region about that Israeli soldiers committed rapes against the patients in the hospital. As it turns out, both Hamas and Al Jazeera, based in Qatar, have now admitted that it was a fake story, that it was a lie. It was a deliberate lie, because they were trying to win public support. And this operation, which, as I said, caught hundreds of Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorists, is being carried out with such care. And yet, how quickly everybody jumped on this rumor, and it created a big frenzy and security crisis. And yet some of the people in Gaza were reporting already that the story isn't true. And many people started fleeing from Gaza, central Gaza, to the south, which became a big problem for Hamas because of this large migration. And so Al Jazeera and Hamas now walked the story back, and they said that the woman who started it had positive intention because her goal was to arouse the national fervor and brotherhood. And despite that, and despite the admission from the people themselves, the activists continued to promote the story. Even today, we saw some who reiterated this allegation, even after it's been debunked in this way. Now, the truth is that at the place itself, Israel has built a field hospital and medical center on the grounds of the hospital. They sent in medical teams, tens of thousands of units of medications and all sorts of bandages, infusions, all sorts of things so that they could continue to operate. And they sent generators in order for people that the operations and other things could continue. So the story of Shifa Hospital, no rapes, humanitarian concerns being watched. And we see it in other hospitals as well, where the same story is being promulgated, that in Nasser Hospital, where people, which Israel operated in earlier. Now it's coming out how much infrastructure was there. And they immediately, as soon as Israel withdraws, they fill in again. And the doctors and nurses, everybody is held hostage there. And yet this story is fueling anti-Semitism in streets in all over Europe and in the United States. And the journalists who work for the BBC were people who had posted anti-Semitic and vicious attacks on Israel, and had posted repeatedly about it, so that they should not have been credible from the get-go. But in fact, their word is being taken. So as you said, 800 terrorists so far caught just at Shifa Hospital. We know that the other hospitals are again going to have to be cleansed because they find safe refuge there. They use the people as human shields. And yet nobody is talking about that as a war crime, as they should.
That is...
Malcolm, Turkey, an alleged ally and NATO member of the United States, has had some harsh words for Israel and specifically for Prime Minister Netanyahu. What can you tell us about that?
So Turkey, which is now undergoing its own terrorism problem and uses this as great cover for its own actions against Kurds, and he has made some really terrible statements about what he intends to do with the Kurds. But the first thing he said is that he's going to send Netanyahu to Allah, and the Israeli foreign ministry called in the ambassador, and then the Turkish foreign ministry issued a condemnation on Israel for responding to the initial rebuke that was given to the Turkish ambassador. What Erdogan said, he's going to send Prime Minister Netanyahu to Allah to take care of him and make him miserable and curse him. He also lauded the Hamas as freedom fighters and says that Turkey is a country that speaks openly with them, even though, as you know, we've talked over the year how they kept denying, and he said that they were just there as a base and that he would throw them out and that he was taking action against them. So we know that that Turkey is becoming much more aggressive because he faces an election. And in the same week, he said that Turkish military operations against Kurdish fighters across the border in Iraq would escalate, and he would give new nightmares to those who think they'll bring Turkey to its knees and terrorism on its borders. And the Kurds, who are about 25 million and have been consistently denied the right of self-determination, he's charging them with terrorism when, in fact, it seems to be the other way around. And the geography where the people live is not Terroristan, as he said, but Kurdistan, they replied. And he has not in any way diminished the rhetoric that he's using, which is stoking the population and likely a cover for the actions that he's going to take. We know that he acted in 9 provinces in the last 24 hours with 40 arrests against alleged ISIS operatives inside Turkey.
Malcolm, it's a puzzle about Erdogan. Over the years, he's a neo-Ottomanist, which means he wants to recover the Ottoman Empire in some fashion. And he's afeared of the jihadists, yes? The extremists, yep, are no friend of his.
Right. So, but he is a Muslim Brotherhood himself. He propounds a Muslim Brotherhood ideology and therefore works to give safe haven to Hamas and to work with Qatar and to work with others in the region. And he's building mosques all over the world, thousands of them. And they all on Fridays preach a message from that he himself delivers, sends out what is to be said. And it's a Muslim Brotherhood message. So he is a complex figure. He's wants to perpetuate his own hold and expand his role. He wants to be the central leader in the Muslim world. He has said to me personally that, you know, why he wants Jerusalem, because you can't be the caliph if you don't have Jerusalem. So he has those aspirations, and as you said, to resurrect the Ottoman Empire with him as the new sultan.
Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. I'm John Batchelor.